So this is going to be just a little bit different because this is going to be more of a prophetic edge to it, meaning that there will be some types and symbols, not something that I normally do, but it's just of the nature of what we're sharing that's going to be. So that's my disclaimer up front. So if you don't understand right off the bat, that's okay. Just let the Lord minister into your soul. Amen? So go with me to Genesis 22, and I want to share that famous promise here. We see the Lord is speaking to Abraham at this moment. He's clarifying some things for him. And Abraham now already done what he needed to do to secure God's plan. And he was able to walk through him. And Abraham was able to lift up his son and do everything but do the deed. But in the same time, the Lord was able to take that and said, okay, now because you've done this, I will be able to offer my son. Amen. Verse 17, chapter 22, it says, indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. And your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. And we talked about there's a blessing here. There's a promise here. And now, in addition to the blessing and the promise, I'm also letting you know there's an empowerment in this word. The word of the Father always comes with empowerment. When God releases a word into your spirit, it comes with the ability to complete it, to do it. And so in this moment here, he was speaking a blessing, and we determined a couple of weeks ago that that blessing was, according to what was said in Romans 4, that blessing was the forgiveness of your iniquity and the remembering no more of your sin. I don't know about you, but I needed that. I needed Abraham's blessing. Abraham's blessing is upon my life. Abraham's blessing is upon my life, and I needed it. Maybe y'all were really, really nice and never ever sinned and did all those things, but I needed it. I needed it something to, I needed that. Knowing that you need it is the first thing that we got to come over. Knowing that you need it. We're seeing this, so we see that blessing so that your iniquities and your sins are remembered no more. When we stand in that place now, we also can see the promise that he was given that his seed was going to be greatly multiplied. And the next thing of it is the empowerment that comes because knowing that your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. The gates were places where everything happened in that day and time. Everything that was important happened at the gate. All the government, all the commerce happened at the gate. Anything that was going to be transacted happened at the gate. The buying and the selling. But see, also wisdom was exchanged at the gate. In our society, we really don't have these things anymore like that because we're a place where government and commerce and all are gathered into one spot. When I was young, my uncle would take me to the hardware store out there in the country. Well, that was really like the only place for anybody to gather. These old timers would be in there and they're all gathered around the fire. There's a little stove, a little potbelly stove in the middle of the store. This is the kind of store where nails were sold by the handful. You know, it was in a big keg and you poured out how many pounds you wanted. It was antique even then, okay? The men would get in there and they would exchange ideas and understanding. They would talk about whatever was going on in their family. They would talk about what was going on in the community. They would make up the mind, the civic mind of what was going to happen in this little jurisdiction. It gives you a little bit of a taste of what would happen at the gate. Gates are significant. Gates are powerful. With all this in mind, Sharon sent me a little thing from Chuck Pierce. He's always defining times and places. He's a very much of a prophet, and he's very much into Issachar. The men of Issachar are men who know the times and the seasons that they are in. And as they know the times and the seasons they're in, that allows you to be in, to have a structure to put to the area that you're working in. And when we have that structure, you know what? Human beings need structure. We thrive typically with structure. Now, some of us, when we were younger, like to rebel against all structure. But the reality is we all needed that structure. It's what gives you, creates an atmosphere of safety. To me, what this word that he began to release, I'm not going to repeat his word, but I'm going to give you just a couple lines of it. The word he began to release was such a confirmation of what we've got going on in the house. An affirmation of where we are, where we have been, and what we're doing. And so I just wanted to share some of those things with you. And here's what he began to say about September 15th. September 15th, I want to say this, by the way, Happy New Year. It's the Jewish calendar. September 15th is the change of the year. So here he says this, September 15th, that's going to be the year 5784. And the 84 is Pei Dalet. Okay, and he says this, the year of going through the gate. What we've been talking about? Going through the gate. Entering the door with a capital D of your future. Ascending through the portal and warring to secure your promise. Ascending through the portal. Ascending. What have we begun to do? What have we been working on all year for maybe, what has it been, maybe 2 years now? We've been working on all of that. We're working at it. We're getting there. So that was his word. And I just wanted to just kind of present it because I also want to present a little bit of information about the gates. The gates, and we're going to call this the gates of our lives. In order for us to appreciate 5784, we need to know what 5783 has been. Okay? And so I need you in particular to pay attention to this one. Because 5783 is Goshen. And Goshen's purpose was to activate the Joseph anointing. The purpose of that last season was to create an activation of the Joseph anointing. The purpose of it was to begin to draw the church together because Goshen in Hebrew means drawing near. Drawing near. When we come and we're sending the Lord and we're coming to interface with Him, what are we doing? We're actually drawing near. It's the whole purpose of what we've been spending the last year or two doing is drawing near. There's a clarification of our heart when we draw near. There's a clarification of our purpose when we draw near. There's a clarification of our goal in our life when we draw near. Because you know what? As you draw near, your goals can shift dramatically. When I began drawing near to the Lord, He began to shift what my priorities were in my life. If you look at Genesis 45:10, we don't have to go there at the moment, but Goshen was a place of refuge. Because see, Goshen was where Joseph began to establish his family. He went to the Pharaoh and he said, my family is coming. They're in a famine. I need a place for them to stay. And they put him in the land of Goshen. Turns out is actually what this land, when I began looking it up, this land is on the east side of Egypt. And it's right along on the east side of the Nile. It's in the Nile Delta. It's the richest land in the nation. The king gave away his best land to these people. So Goshen represents an inheritance. It wasn't the promised land, but it was the nearest thing to the promised land they could find in Egypt. Goshen was a place of refuge and abundance. It was a place of divine protection. Number one, he's protecting them from the famine that's out there in the rest of the world. But it also, because they're in this little slice separated from the main commerce of Egypt, they were not ever caught up into the things of Egypt. They were never immersed and brought into the culture of Egypt. Because of their separateness, they were able to maintain their unique identity. And then when the actual days of the ten little catastrophes that began to happen out of there, then the Lord was able to protect them and keep them sheltered in the land of Goshen. When the rest of the land was covered in frogs, there were no frogs in Goshen. When the rest of the land were covered in locusts, there was no more locusts in Goshen. When the angel of death came over the land and took the firstborn in the land of Goshen, that didn't happen. It was a place of divine protection. God kept them separated. He kept them consecrated by that separation. I'm here to tell you, this is a season. This has been a season, and it continues to be a season, even going into the next year. It continues to be a season of consecration. Because the more we'll consecrate ourselves, the more we'll be able to stand and continue to resemble what God is and what He's doing, rather than the things that are going on around us. I told you, because of a word that Carlos had given me, I stepped away and didn't, I was not doing any more Facebook and news items, no more Fox and all those other news places. Because why? Because it's a consecration. It's got to be a place of consecration. Why? Because, you know what? The elections and all that other stuff that's out there, everything that's going on, it'll still be out there. Okay? But if I don't get my heart turned up in it, I can actually hear what the Lord has to say to me about it. Chuck Pierce, when, he accurately predicted, he had predicted Obama coming into office. He predicted Trump coming into office. Why? Because he didn't get caught up in the politics. He wasn't worried about what his favorite was. He was worried only about what God had to say. When we stay consecrated, we're not assimilated into the culture. So that was the consecration, I think, is an important step. It's also important to realize that Goshen was a prosperous place. It was a place where God could actually bless. And yes, I know that it eventually became a place of slavery also, but that was a whole nother situation, it was never the intention of the land. But sometimes when you stay in a good place for too long, you overstay the welcome. It's about timing. So now then, let's bring us back up to 57 and 84. And so 57 and 84 is this, it's pay Dalet. And that's just the 84, basically. Pay is the 80s. It means the mouth, or it means declaration. Because that's what you do with a mouth, is make declaration. And Dalet is door, or a gateway. A Dalet is authority, dominion, and rulership. Prophetically, it means to ascend, to look up, or go through supernatural doors. Or who's ready to go through some supernatural doors? If you're going to walk, you're going through some supernatural doors is the place you want to be. If I understand that this is a supernatural door that's being opened to me and I walk through it, then I can expect supernatural things to happen in my life. And not every supernatural door looks spooky and spooky, okay? It doesn't have lightnings and thunders written all over it. Sometimes a supernatural door is simply the one you go to because there's a hunger in your soul to change. My son had a lot of issues going on in his life. And, he moved up to Tyler, and his first job in Tyler was working, selling in this mall and in the store, this little kiosk in the mall. And the guy was stealing from him. Pretty much everything that he would sell, the guy would steal some portion of it instead of giving him all of it. But he had to kind of like, because of his situation, he had to have the money. So he had to stay. So I began to lay out a plan for him. I said, okay, I want you to just begin to pray. And as you pray, I want you to just do what you're led to do as you pray. As he was doing this, the Lord quickened him to go to the local cable office and just present his resume. So he walks into the local cable office and presents his resume on his lunch hour because he only has a little bit of time, but he's like, I got time to get over there, do it, and then get back. I'll just skip lunch. And so he goes over to the cable office and he presents his resume to the lady who's sitting at the desk and he says, I just have a resume. I'd like to drop it off. And if it's possible, I'd like to talk to the manager. And the lady at the desk said, oh, well, we don't do that. He just said, well, would you look at it, please, for just a moment? And so she looked at it and she said, give me a moment. And she took the resume to the back and gave it to the manager and called him in. And when he got in there, he went and did a little interview with the manager. And as he did the little interview with the manager, see, that was his open door. What he didn't understand was there was a supernatural door. Because when he came out, he was going to thank the lady at the desk. He assumed her to be the secretary. Turns out she was the vice president of the company. She was just sitting at the desk because somebody went to the bathroom. And so when he handed her that resume, he was hired already. Once he got her to look at it, that was a supernatural door that opened up. So your door can look like, I'm desperate for a situation and I'm hungry for a change. Your door can look like anything that it might need to look like. Just recognize that God has a door that's available to you. That not every situation is going to be controlled by what would be natural and normal when you step into a supernatural door. And when you step through a supernatural door, guess what? He's done supernatural ascensions ever since within that company. Things that he's in his pay grade, that his position and his background didn't have anything to do, he's doing. So, prophetically means to ascend, to look up, to go through supernatural doors, to go vertical. In other words, it's time for us to bring it to God. Bring it to the Creator. Bring it to Him. Time to cross over into a supernatural existence. Time to cross over into supernatural happenings. Why? Because you hunger for it. Let's go to Genesis 28. And I'm going to just bring your attention to verse 17 to start with. We'll get some context around it in a minute. And he's afraid and said, this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. The house of God and the gate of heaven. This is Jacob. He's on his journey now. He's going out from his family and now he has to go into the land of Haran, find a wife and start establishing himself. So he's just beginning his sojourn. But at the same time, God is doing something. He's meeting him. Why? Because he stepped away from what was and he's stepping into the what is. He's coming to a supernatural door. He didn't know when he laid his head down on that stone, there was a rock that he used as a pillow. He laid his head down on that rock. He didn't know he was stepping into a supernatural door, but God revealed it to him. Let's see what he says here. Verse 12. And he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were what? Ascending and descending on it. The angels of God were traveling on this thing. There was a conduit of heaven that was set up right there between him and heaven, between him and God. And there were things that were happening. But guess what? The first part, the first act was it was ascension and then descension. There was something of his essence, his spirit that went up. I got to get in front of my God. I got to get into his face. When he drew near to his face, now he was equipped with something to bring down to change his life. he was equipped to come and change his life, to be released. And there were things that are around him that were being released on his behalf. So that now he had an expectation when the Lord began to speak to him, the expectation was that this was going to happen. Verse 13, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord thy God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the land which you on which you lie. I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That sounds an awful lot like what was told to Abraham. He's just repeating the promise. He's giving him a promise, but in this promise, he's also giving him a purpose. See, in the gate, you're going to encounter a couple of things. You're going to encounter a promise. But in the gate, you're also going to encounter your purpose. That gate, that promise and that purpose are going to begin to determine what happens in your life. So stepping in, when we step into a gate, when we step into a door, we're stepping into purpose. We're stepping into promise. We're stepping into the possibility that God creates, that something is greater than our ability to create it. Verse 15. And behold, I am with you. We read it. We don't always absorb it. What if Father himself stands in front of you and says, I am with you. I am with you. It would change your whole being. To encounter him that way would change everything about how you perceive yourself and the world around you. To know that you have that value. To know that he has that value for you. To know that you're that secure. And he goes on to define it. I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go. And will bring you back to this land. Now he knows something he didn't know. Because before he was sojourning out from his parents' house, he was going out from his daddy, and he was just going into the world. But now he knows that there will be a day when I can return. There will be a day when I've been equipped, and I've been done, everything that was necessary be instilled in me has been instilled, and I can go back. But I'm not going back empty-handed. I'm going back with the Lord. I'm going back because he's empowered me. The Lord's word released an empowerment to Abraham, but it also releases an empowerment here to Jacob. Guess what? You're part of the seed. It's releasing an empowerment to you. For I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. I believe he's repeating himself to you today. He will not leave you until he's done what he promised you today. All of you. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. When you've encountered him like that, yes, surely the Lord is in this place. Lord, I didn't know when I laid down, but I know now you're here. And he named the place Bethel, house of God. Bethel. And it changed basically out of this, and he made a vow that changed what he was going to do with his rest of his life. Out of this, he made that vow, and as that vow, he began to go forward. He began to walk in the promise and walk in the purpose that he had been created for. He became the one who was the progenitor of all the 12 tribes of Israel, out of him a nation sprung forth. The nation of Israel. It shifted, this moment shifted his understanding. But it also increased his possibilities. When you step into the promise and the purpose, your possibilities are increased. Your potential is increased. When we step through supernatural doors and gateways, your potential is many times multiplied. So, ascending and descending, Jesus said this of himself. Jesus is the ladder, the gateway of heaven. John 1:51, if you want to look it up, John 1:51 is where he declares himself. He said, you will see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So when you're standing with the one, you're standing with the one, you're standing with the one who is the ladder, you're standing with the one who is the gateway. And when we stand with Jesus, now all of a sudden, angels are ascending and descending right around you. So now he knows some things that he didn't know. Let's go with me to John 3 real quick. I just see a parallel here that I didn't see before, but when he's speaking to Nicodemus in John 3, and he's speaking to Nicodemus here, verse 11, truly, truly, I say to you that we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Speaking to Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. And if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe it if I tell you heavenly things? Our goal should not only be to understand earthly things, but to enter into the heavenly things. Because why? Because the one who is the gateway is in front of you. The one who is the gateway is with you. And so therefore, heavenly things should become natural in our understanding. And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. So he's standing in front of Nicodemus, and he's saying this thing, and it sounds like a riddle. It's like, what do you mean? You're standing in front of me. How can you be in heaven? What do you mean? Nicodemus is confused for good reason. Okay? For one, now we know Jesus is a dual citizen. Guess what? You get to be a dual citizen too. Because if it's in him, it can be in you. If you see it in him, you can find it in you. So he's called you to be a dual citizen with him. As he is, so am I. Amen. In his image. He's a dual citizen. But see, what he was actually telling him was something, there was more to it. Back in Deuteronomy 30, these are words that Nicodemus would have known and been able to reflect on. Verse 12, it is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it and make us hear it, that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it and make us hear it, that we may observe it. 14. But the word is very near to you, in your mouth, in your heart, that you may observe it. What is he sharing with Nicodemus? So when he talks about being in heaven, right, as he's in front of him, he's telling him, the word is standing in front of you. The very one who told you, the very thing you were expecting is standing in front of you. And I'm here to engage you. And that engagement is of your life. That engagement is the potential of life. That engagement is the potential of all heavenly things. Now, the one who has come from heaven is standing in front of you so that you can be engaged by heaven. He was making it evident to Nicodemus. It wasn't a riddle. It was a remembrance of something that he would have known. So that he can say, I am the Son of Man who stands here in front of you, and that is Jesus or Lord Christ that you were expecting. The Word made flesh. That Word, when you start crossing through the gates, that Word stays right here. That Word is made available to us. It's made near to us. It's come to comfort us. It's come to bring truth into us. It's come to bring all of our heart and our mind next to Him. It's not out of reach. Sometimes we think that God is out of reach. When I first got saved, I had this love affair with Christ. But I couldn't touch the Father. And there was this young boy, he was like 14 years old, and he would just pray, and he would just say, Papa God, and just pray what he was going to pray. And it transformed me to hear the simplicity with which he approached the Father. See, that's what God is looking for us all to come with, just that openness. Just be a child. Be childlike before Him. We don't have to make it hard and spooky. We don't make it difficult. We just make it easy like a child. When my grandchildren show up at my house, they jump out of the vehicle and they're running and they're screaming, Pop! Pop! He's looking for us to come running, screaming, Pop! Pop! So that was 1 and 2, which was promise and purpose. 2 Chronicles 18:9. So now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in robes, and they were sitting at the threshing floor of the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. So now you have the kings and the prophets sitting in the gate. You have rule and reigning. You have the dominion. This is called dominion or authority sitting in the gate. When you approach the gate, there's an authority that is going to be given to you because you can become as one who is the king. There's a dominion that's there, but also we see the decree that is there, because the prophets are there to release the word of God. The prophets are there to release all that comes out of heaven into the moment. Now we see in this one, if you read further down in the story, and we won't do that for time's sake, but as you read further down in the story, you see that they had a bunch of false prophets, but he knew of one who was not a false prophet. So Jehoshaphat was apparently very good at, because they were at Jehoshaphat's gate, he was very good at priming people who wanted to tell him what he wanted to hear. And so he had a whole bunch of prophets that were telling him what he wanted to hear. But then there was one prophet, I'm going to call him Mike because I don't know, it's something else, but it's hard to pronounce. So Mike, he said, Mike never prophesies anything good about me. But see, the other king wanted to know, what is the word of the Lord? I've heard the word of these guys, but somehow I'm suspicious because it sounds too much like what we want to hear. And he said, no, the only one I got is Mike. So Mike comes by and tells him the truth. He tells him, basically, if you go in this battle, you're not coming back. Because there are going to be people without a shepherd. A land without a king. He tells him the truth. See, you can count on the truth being available to you in the gate. That's what I'm getting at. You have dominion here in the gate. You have truth in the gate. And you have the word of declaration to go with the truth. You have to prime your ear to hear the truth. How many know it's a whole lot more fun to have your ears tickled than to hear somebody tell you something you didn't want to hear? Sometimes that person who's telling you something you didn't want to hear is sitting in the passenger seat while you're driving. You never know. This could be, right? But my point is here, there is truth in the gate. See, Ahab's false prophets were assuring victory, but victory wasn't what God had on his mind. Victory wasn't what was going to be happening. Mike told him the truth. You know what he did to Mike? This is why no one else told him the truth. He threw Mike in prison. He said, here, I want you. You're going to prison until I get back. And Mike just told him, if you get back, I didn't tell you the right word. So we don't know what happened to Mike because we don't hear about that. Mike, we don't know if Mike got rescued by anybody else or what, or if he just spent the rest of his days there. We don't know. See, sometimes telling the truth comes with a price. Not everybody's ready to hear your truth. The truth. That's not, there's a thing called, you know, my truth. Yeah. Okay. X that. There's only one truth. We live in a world where they've made truth something that's a variable. It's not a variable. It's God's way or no way. Hallelujah. Okay. So what do we see pictured here? And by the way, that was the 4 dominion, 5 decree, 6 truth. Okay. A lot of times when we're not listening for truth because our feelings get involved. And we have a tendency, okay, to let our feelings dictate what we hear. And I'm not saying that anybody here has ever done that. I'm not looking at anybody in the sanctuary. But it's a whole lot easier for me to find fault with the deliverer than to hear something that was corrective. Because my pride gets involved. Especially when it's the person who's sitting in the passenger seat. My pride gets involved. What do you mean I should not have cut that person off? What do you mean I shouldn't split the lane? Your pride gets involved. So it becomes hard to hear. But guess what? If I know I'm in a supernatural gate, I got to yield to the gate. I got to yield to what God is doing in the moment. And I got to begin to be able to hear what God has placed in the place of the moment in the gate. Because when I receive, now I can receive not just the word that was said, but I can receive the impact and the healing that was released with it. Because God never releases a word without releasing the ability to complete it. Amen? Amen. Okay, I think I got one or two more. In Acts 12, Acts 12 verse 13, Peter had been imprisoned. James had already been beheaded. They expected the same was going to happen for Peter. Peter is coming out of the prison. A supernatural event occurred to where he walked out of the prison. His chains fell off, the doors opened, and he just walked out. He didn't even know for sure what was happening until he was out. Now, there was a meeting going on where people were praying for him. And in this meeting, they're praying for him, and they're really intently just praying and praying and praying. And he comes up and knocks on the door, and Rhoda answers the door and says, oh, it's Peter, but she left him there because she was so excited. And so she goes back running inside. It's Peter! And they say, no, it's just his ghost because he's in jail. But think about that. It's a supernatural door. Would we say that? Would we have a thought that it's his ghost? No, to them that was so normal that they would see the spirit of a man, understand the spirit of a man, that was just the way that they expressed it. But there was a supernatural availability right there in that moment. God had already done it. And now they got to recognize it and to walk in it. We're going to walk in the supernatural. We're going to walk in that which is God's best. We're going to see those things because why? He's putting in front of us. Exodus 32, my final gate here. Exodus 32 and 26. Moses stands in the gate. And as he stands in the gate, he's doing this. Because basically he came down off the mountain. He'd been fasting and praying. He got the Ten Commandments. And he comes down and finds that they're worshiping a golden calf. They're in the middle of idolatry, in the middle of sin, in the middle of adultery and fornication and all the other stuff. And all this is going on. And he steps into this and he steps at the gate and he says, if there's anybody who is with God, come. If you're with God, come. Whoever is for the Lord, come. It's an invitation. It's an invitation and an impartation. An invitation and an impartation and a promotion. Because we know from what was said next is that the Levites came and stood alongside Moses in this hour. They came and stood alongside Moses because they were more fervent for the Lord than they were for their brothers and sisters. They were more fervent for the Lord than they were the sin that they were engaged in. They were more fervent for the Lord. They said, we're going to side with the Lord in every situation. And it caused them to be set apart and to be promoted above all their brothers. There's a moment of invitation and promotion available for us. Let your word abide in him. Let your abide in the Lord. And let his word abide in you. Because right now, Revelation 3 says, he set before you an open door. He set before you an open door. Why? Because you've kept his word. You've kept his word. So now, I'm going to charge you, keep his word this week. Have an expectancy for open gates. We're stepping into the season of open gates. Have an expectancy for what that gate can mean to you. There's a whole lot can happen by gates.